Over the past 6 decades, the SS Badger has become a fixture on Lake Michigan. Since 1953, the coal-burning passenger ferry has carried some millions of passengers in their cars from Ludington, Michigan to Manitowoc, Wisconsin and back between May and October. Now, according to the Badger's website, it is the only remaining coal-fired steamship in operation in the United States. But for some years now, the Badger has been at the center of a growing environmental controversy since it dumps about 4 tons of coal ash daily into Lake Michigan as it crosses the Big Lake. An EPA decision whether to continue to exempt the Badger from ash dumping regulations should become public in just the next couple of weeks. Last week, an unscientific poll appearing in the Traverse City Record Eagle showed a majority of respondents said the EPA should refuse to extend the Badger's exemption from regulation. Hugh McDermott is Communications Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. He joins us to talk about the Badger and the larger issue of coal and coal ash. We did invite a rep from Lake Michigan Car Ferry Company, the firm that owns and operates the SS Badger, to join us. They said they don't want to comment until after the EPA has made its decision. So it's Hugh McDermott and Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to Current State, Hugh.
Thanks, Mark.
What is coal ash, spent coal? What is it made of?
Right. Coal ash is the residue left over after the coal burns. And it's, you know, coal-burning power plants have a lot of coal ash that they need to safely dispose of. The car ferry has a lot of coal ash also. I don't think it's burned at quite the same temperatures and in quite the same optimum conditions as a power plant, so they probably get more coal ash per ton of coal burned than the power plants. But, you know, it's problematic because it has a lot of contaminants in it. It can have arsenic, lead, mercury as part of the components of the ash. So we're essentially dumping uncontrolled toxic chemicals into Lake Michigan from the ferry.
And what do we know about the effects of that? Sounds extremely toxic, a toxic mix of elements there. What do we know about the effects mm-hmm. of mercury, arsenic, and lead on people, animals, fish?
Yeah. Well, we know that mercury especially is a huge problem in Great Lakes waters. It's a neurotoxin. It impairs childhood development. It's one of the reasons that there are fish advisories, fish consumption advisories on every inland lake in Michigan because of mercury poisoning, a lot of it deposition from coal-burning power plants. If you are a woman who is pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant or possibly becoming pregnant, you really should pay attention to the mercury advisories that our state has on fish consumption. So whether this ferry is dumping significant amounts of mercury or not, I guess the question is why are we continuing to do this after 60 years?
How much of those substances, the mercury, arsenic, and lead, does coal burning create? Could you argue these are trace amounts, or are they noticeably greater?
I guess it depends on the facility that's burning the coal and you know how they're filtering it. In the coal plants, they're actually scrubbing a lot of those toxic chemicals out and collecting them and keeping them from spewing into the environment. So their coal ash probably has a larger concentration of those chemicals than the boat, which doesn't have any emissions controls on it. A lot of those chemicals end up going out into the air, which is also problematic. But you know, whatever isn't burned ends up. Or whatever is captured by the emissions control systems ends up in the coal ash and has to be handled properly.
Has the coal scrubbing movement, has that generally, how big of an impact has that had over the years? I've gotten into so many discussions about this over the years with different people, and, mm-hmm. and some people maintain there is no such thing as clean coal.
No.
But at the same time, there has been this coal scrubbing technology that's become a part of the landscape. How has that played out?
Right. Well, you know, back in the late 1970s, we passed the Clean Air Act, which is really the beginning. And in Michigan, you know, we passed some clean air legislation too, and that's really been the impetus behind taking a lot of these toxic elements out of the air and improving public health. And we've made dramatic improvements in capturing these toxic releases and you know, disposing of them at least temporarily, rather than letting them escape into the atmosphere and cause all sorts of health problems. some, you know, heart ailments, premature death, asthma, heart attacks. All those are related. We've made tremendous progress in clearing those out. And, the Badger is one of the holdovers. It's got a special exemption. It's kind of got iconic status. And it's been allowed to operate sort of outside the rules for quite some time now.
There's a huge nostalgia dynamic that's in play here, too. And we talked about this before we went on the air, full disclosure here. But there's something about that smokestack and the whistle and just the whole ambiance of crossing the lake on the Badger. I first did it when I was 11 years old and did it again on the Badger not that long ago. It also provides quite an economic impact, pretty noticeable economic impact.
Yeah, I wouldn't be honest if I wouldn't say that there's a little part of my heart that says, wow, this is the last vestige of a bygone era. And I've been on the Badger too, made that crossing a few years ago, and it was fascinating. And it is an emotional issue for a lot of people, and it is an economic issue for the communities where the ferry docks and takes on passengers and cargo and cars. But they've had many years now to consider options. I was doing some reading last night, and I was reading old newspaper articles from the 70s and 80s where they were talking about, we really need to retrofit this boat and get away from the coal because it's operating outside the boundaries of what we consider appropriate now. And the EPA gave them 4 years in 2008 to come up with a solution, and they said they would. And here we are, again, waiting to see if we're going to allow this ship to burn coal.
NPR's Noah Adams reported on the Badger this past weekend on the network, and in his story, a Ludington resident downplayed the risk of coal ash. He pointed out that when he grew up in the 60s, you couldn't look out on the lake and not see a boat not dumping coal ash. He recalled that the practice went back into the 50s and 40s, and he said, I don't remember a fish die off, and I don't remember any ecological disaster that came of that. How common is that perception? Is there a common perception that coal ash is harmless?
I certainly don't think that's a common perception. I've heard that argued in the case of the Badger, that the levels of the arsenic and the lead and the mercury and the other nasty stuff in there are too low to worry about. And I think that's really a misguided argument. I mean, Michigan has a long history of figuring that its natural resources can't be compromised. We looked at the logging in the 1800s, where people said we'll never run out of timber, and we cut almost all our old growth forests. We looked at the passenger pigeon. We thought that would never go extinct, but we hunted it out of existence, and we almost lost beavers. We almost hunted them to extinction because we're looking at these resources, thinking they're inexhaustible, thinking the lake is so big that it could absorb this, and has not turned out to be true in other cases. And we shouldn't be dumping a couple Volkswagens worth of coal ash unfiltered into the lake every day that ferry runs. We should find a better solution.
Another important question here is the company, the Badger, the Lake Michigan Car Ferry Company, has been given 4 years to come up with an alternative. Is it realistic to assume that they should have come up with some kind of option by now?
Well, we think so, yeah. I mean, they talked about retrofitting it to liquid natural gas. There's a competing ferry that opened not long ago, the Lake Express, that runs on diesel, which is a far better alternative and a far less polluting alternative. And, the technology has come. I was reading in Denmark, there is an emissions-free ferry that runs on solar, wind, and fuel cells that runs between Denmark, Sweden, and Germany and hauls cars and is bigger than the Badger. In Norway, there's an all-electric car ferry that runs. So there are plenty of alternatives. It's just a matter of willpower and eventually, finally, hopefully requiring this ferry to adhere to the same rules that the other operators play by.
I can't let you go without, pardon me, some kind of comment on this proposed biodiversity legislation from Senator Tom Casperson. Can you put that in some perspective for us?
Yeah, that's Senate Bill 78, passed out of the Senate earlier this week, and will be going to a House committee next week. And its ostensible goal is to eliminate a program that Mr. Casperson and a lot of opponents of this program thought was bad, and that's a biodiversity program, which essentially would explore designating some lands for biodiversity management, genetic health of plants and animals in Michigan. And the legislation would eliminate that, but one of our big problems is it goes way farther than that. It essentially redefines conservation, prohibits the state's Department of Natural Resources for managing land specifically for biodiversity and genetic health of plants and animals, and really undercuts, 100 years of land management practice in Michigan, where we've been managing our land, recognizing that we need to preserve the native species and protect against invasive species. And it essentially is really, really bad news in the way that Michigan manages its forest.
We are making every effort to get Senator Casperson on Current State here coming up next week. So we're pretty confident we're going to be able to do that and stir that up more with him. We've been talking about the SS Badger, coal ash, and biodiversity with Hugh McDermott, Communications Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Thanks so much, Hugh.
Thanks, Mark.